on my knees, a lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Future, teach them well and let them lead the way. I love that part where it says the laughter reminds us how it used to be. How it used to be. Okay, we're going to get back to that. I know you guys can just imagine that, how it used to be. The laughter reminds us of how it used to be. I love that part of that song. Okay, so hey, good evening, and welcome to Bring Back the Family, Block by Block, focusing on the youth. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host, and I am so happy and so glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. First, we're going to start with acknowledging our God with the scripture and the prayer, and we have our lineup of our hosts, and I'm going to introduce them. We have Ms. Jacqueline Vandergrift. We have Rebecca Johnson. We have Miss Callie Pierce, our junior host, Jacob Ritwan, and our young adult host, Shania Cox. And our wrap-up pastor with his biblical perspective, Pastor Gerald Marshall Overall from Running for Christ Ministry. That is Pastor O. Going to bring up the rear and going to give us a good perspective about everything that we talk about today. So we're going to start out with our scripture.
Well, good evening, Miss Kathy.
Good evening.
Miss Rebecca, Miss Price, Mr. Jacob, Miss Cox. Good evening, audience. Good evening, Pastor O. I thank the Lord for me being able to be here this evening and to read this scripture. We're going to start out with Proverbs, and Sister Kathy felt that it was so fitting for today in both ways, Proverbs 6 and 7, and you'll see why as we go on through the day. Train up a child in the way he or she should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Number 7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the servant to the lender. Okay, that will fit in as we go on today. And that's what I like about how she picked this. And then she picked Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nature and the admonitions, thank you. Got tongue-tied there for a minute. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as but as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I think I took it a little bit farther than she told me. I think she told me 1 through 4, so I had took it a little bit farther. But I thank the Lord for my reading and the hearers and the doers, and I thank you, Lord, for bringing me as far as I am, because recovering from the COVID, I think that the Lord has brought me a long ways to get this stuff back right, things we take for granted when we are healthy. And we have to thank the Lord for bringing us back to the levels that we were and continue to work on us. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Well, I thank you, Jacqueline Vandergriff. I appreciated all those scriptures. I am Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to open us up in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Lord, you are the great and mighty God, our way maker, our promise keeper, and our miracle worker. We are thankful to serve a God that is the most powerful and the most high. We remember all the work you have already done. We thank you for going before us and making every crooked place straight. We thank you for lessons learned and for answered prayers.
We thank you for access to come boldly to your throne to make requests and for victories over spiritual wickedness in high places. We thank you for your patience with us as we learn and grow and fall short of your glory every day. And we ask for your help in being patient with other people because we know this pleases you. Thank you for every hand that helps the production of this show. We thank you for each person listening or participating in Bring Back the Family tonight. We thank you for opportunities to guide every child that crosses our paths. We know that we can't even imagine the great plans you have for them. We ask that you show us how to provide all the children with the support and resources they need. And we ask you help each of us to know how we can help on our blocks. Since we can do nothing without you, we ask that you give us the wisdom to do your will in bringing back the family. We ask for all of these things with thanksgiving in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jackie and Sister Rebecca. You guys are my stars. Thank you so, so much. So bring back the family. Bring back the family. It is a call for us to wake up, to get engaged, to make a difference. It's time for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. So who is responsible and who is willing to take responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make up in our minds to do? Whatever we're going to do, okay? Who's going to be in charge of the next chapter, passing the torch and running the race, doing great things because we prepared them? We can do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a burden or a nuisance to the community. Okay? Not a burden or a nuisance. Just picture our young folk being productive. And having what they need to make it, and the parents don't have to worry about them, okay? We didn't want them to go out and terrorize and make a bad name for themselves or their family, okay? So Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around this world, and all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation as parents and community comes from me and from you. Someone did it for us, so we have to do the same for them, okay? So what do we propose? We propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed, were needed to make it, and we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it, okay? And it is just simply giving back, giving more than what we had, because it is a different day and time, like the whole different generational mindset, okay? And just meeting them right where they are, okay? So we propose to do this block by block, do something on your block. Can you imagine that, just doing something on your block to help the next generation like they did for us? Remember, we had neighbors, we had community, we had love, we had sharing, we had caring. We had all of those things. And it's easy to just reach back and pick somebody else up and give them things that we know that we had that we needed to make it, okay? So being a positive role model, being a good example that our youth can see, learn, and live by, okay? And that's anything that you could think of that helped you in your time of need when you were growing up, what made you feel like you were loved and that you were cared for, give it to the next generation so that they could grow up and they could do the same thing. And they can have what they need to make it so that they can be able to take care of themselves. They can buy a home. They can take care of their families. They can take care of themselves. They can take help others. And it's just something that just keep on rolling. It keeps rolling. And it don't stop. It don't stop. And so that's what Bring Back the Family is about, just helping the next generation to get what it is that they need to make it. Okay? We're going to talk about being well-rounded. How to be a well-rounded student in family involvement. So family is everything. Family is everything. Our parents will always be our parents. Our family will always be our family. And so how do we put those things together? Family and being well-rounded, having a well-rounded student, okay? And that's what we're going to discuss today, amongst other things, because it's all relevant. Okay, someone, it doesn't matter what we do in life, we don't do it on our own. Someone is always there to lend a helping hand. And there are all kinds of families, all kind of family dynamics. We got the nuclear family, we got foster and adoptive families, we got the extended family, friends, grandparents, community, organizations, neighbors, just to name a few. We never know where our help will come from, okay? So Bring Back the Family brings awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to become well-rounded, productive, prosperous citizens of their communities, okay? So that support and that help for our youth needs to continue, okay? Because if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. Always keep that in mind. It's the focus, okay? Okay, so like I said last week, we talked about being well-rounded. We had so much good information that we just wanted to keep it going and talk about it again. Pastor O talked about the life that his parents planned for him and gave him skills that he was able to use, you know, throughout his life and even today. My parents taught us a lot, too, taught us how to fish, how to hunt, or how to shoot a gun, how to fix a flat tire, how to keep your area clean, your home clean, how to help others. We learned how to do sports, bowl, baseball, basketball, kickball. We always stayed active, teamwork. There's a lot of us, but we learned teamwork. Our behavior was focused on. We went to church, and God was the center of my parents' lives, okay? It was the center of their lives, and so that's how they guided us. And that's what we should be doing for the next generation, okay? Talked about being well-rounded, what well-rounded is, being involved, being outgoing, knowing something about everything, you know, everything. Being excited about what we are going to do for our kids and on our block. Okay? What are we doing? Are we doing something on our block yet? Are we helping the youth and helping them right where they are? Looking at maybe whatever problem or issue that they might have? Are we looking to help? Do we see any of the issues and what are we doing about it? Are you doing anything on your block? Are you? Ask yourself that. Or what can you do? If you're not, what can you do? What can I do with the youth that I see on my block that might be going wayward? Or they might be just doing just fine. But ask them. Inquire about their grades and how they're doing, what they need, what do they like, how are their grades. You know, they tell you that good grades, let me see your report card, and then reward them for those grades. Okay, and so being well-rounded is, like I said, is being involved, being outgoing, knowing a lot about a lot of things. So the way you know a lot about a lot of things is you get involved. You read, you study, you research, okay? A well-rounded student knows the importance of their grades, not only during major or final examinations, but during assessments and all year round. They're worried about the grades. They're focused on them, focused about their grades. It's important to them, okay? They maintain good grades. They engage in hobbies and extracurricular activities. They're good communicators. They build healthy relationships. They're involved in their community. And then they continue to learn outside the classroom. So they're always learning, always learning. That's how you get to know and get to be well-rounded, okay? Why is it good to be well-rounded? That means that you can handle all kinds of tasks and adapt to different situations easily. You become like a superhero with a range of powers, okay? Being well-rounded gives you a perspective, a broader perspective on things, and you can see the connection between different subjects and come up with creative solutions to problems. You can do some stuff, okay? So, well-rounded education, knowing all subjects. Okay, in education, you know a lot of subjects, English, reading, language, arts, writing, science, technology, engineering, math, foreign languages, civics and government, economics, arts, history, geography, computer science, music, and religion. You know a lot about a lot of things. And anybody talk to you, you could come up with a conversation about it. You know, if you want to go into the political arena, you know about politics. Okay, you want to go into technology, you're going to know about science. Okay? And it's just a lot to know. Okay? And it's just about getting involved. And how does family come into that? They're your coaches. They're your coaches. Your family is your coach. Your neighbors, your community are your coaches, and they help you to, they encourage you and help you to be the best as you could be. They reward you, okay? So I'm not going to do all the talking. I'm going to open it up and let, if you want to have something to say, press 1 and open up your mic. We're just going to have a good time today and talk about what we can do to help our youth, because that's why we're here. We're going to be here, and we hope that you tell someone else about bringing back the family and what our goal is and what they can do to help bring back the family and what they could do to help our kids be the best that they could be, okay? We all in this thing together. We are all in this thing together. We want the same thing for all of our youth. We want the best for them. Okay, so, hey, Miss Jackie, Miss Rebecca, talk to me.
Okay, well, I was looking at, can you hear me good?
Yeah, you know, I was wondering, what strategies can we use to get our children to be well-rounded?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that because I had looked, because I had heard about this one strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And the strategy goes back to, that's why I said that as we go on, one of the verses in Proverbs, that when you said the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is the servant to the lender. Now, the reason this strategy and a lot of people's ideas come out of the Bible, it was changing your child's mindset and having roundtable discussions. Now, most kids do not, they think it's grief when they are having a discussion with their parents. But the parent has to become creative, like creating each child. If you have one child, two, three children, if they old enough to go to school, they old enough to create a name for a company. This is their school, is a business contract with them. And they are paid for their performance on that contract. So they said, create a company name for your child. Like, say, for instance, Jack's New Beginning could be a name of a company. Or Kathy's Strategy. Or Rebecca's Future Seeker. And so on. Using that as an example. Then write a vision, and I think that's, it speaks that in the Bible, and a mission statement. What are your visions for that school year? Like, are your visions to get all A's? Are your vision to get A's and B's? What is your vision? Your mission is how is you going to get there. So your mission statement. So what they were showing, like examples, how to plan to get A's. So you have 5 school days. So you have to get, you get paid $1 for the study habits. You get paid studying the math, the science, the English. If you have 5 classes a day and you study, that's $1 a day. $1. So that's $5 a day times 5, which takes that child to $25 a week. And every 2 weeks, that kid at his company made $50. So now, when there's time for tests, well, if you get an A, you make a $5. If you get a B, you make a $4. And then when at report card time, they were getting for A's $20, B's $10. And it's very important, those different state tests that your child score a certain score, because there's what they call, they'd be put in place. Every child has a student number, and that number will determine what side of the river your child is on based on the scores. If that, those scores are poor, that means that most likely that child won't be going to a university, would not be in the upper crust. Are you going to be the lender or are you going to be the borrower? So I think that there was a chart that you had, Miss Kathy. Hard choices, easy life. Mm-hmm. Easy choices, hard life. So if you never study, and you get an E or D on your test, your report card is going to reflect that. Mm-hmm. But if they get in a habit of studying, and a lot of parents say, well, that's a lot of money, and you know, I'm working, and I have to pay the bills, and blah, blah, blah. How many pop cans do you have at your house? How many cases of pop do you buy? See, there are little ways How much change do everybody have in their pocket that you can put in a jar? See, we invest, we pay for what is important to us. But if we teach our children to set up a vision and a mission statement to their own company, you're training them. Now, if they're in elementary school, drop it down to 50 cents. Okay? Per class. But they're studying. If you study your homework today, that 50 cents is going to add up, or that dollar is going to add up in 2 weeks for you to get paid. But they are learning how to run a business because they're looking at what these scientists say. They're looking at the changing their mindset, and then you have the roundtable discussion on how much money you made and what you, did you do to make that money. And listen to them and let them talk. And give them a check, make out a check stub every 2 weeks to go along with that money that you give them. You give them cash money, and then you give them a copy of a check stub that with their company name on it in bold letters at the top. Like the boss man gives you for the company that you're working for. So what it does, from my understanding, you're changing the mindset. A lot of times when the mindset is changed and they know how important their company is, then they don't have time for foolishness. So now they're working on that, and then the other curricular activities they have, by the time they finish, they don't have time for foolishness. But we have to stay in tune from what they're saying here. We have to stay in tune with our children, but you have to use strategies to make them want to do. We go on the job. And we have an expectation in 2 weeks to have a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And we have expectations to be able to have a good evaluation that we did an excellent job. So let's teach our children how to be, use these strategies on how to be, run a good business. And the business is they're hiring the educational system. They are the contractors for the educational system to master these classes. They're subcontractors. They wrote a grant. They wrote an order for these, that's their mission and vision statement, for these things to take place. And then at the end, they're rewarded. Start looking at, if we look at a calculator here, and is maybe somebody can jump in and kind of help me out a little bit on this. If you say, what was I going to calculate? If you, something I was going to calculate, with our children, it'll come back to me. But you
said something about giving them a paycheck.
A paycheck. But now if you look at $25 divided by 5 days, that's $5 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, start putting together, drop it in the jar, $5. Okay? If you got $5 worth of bottles, those bottles are pop bottles that you have around the house that you get money off, take them over there and get that money off of it, put that money in the jar. And you pay your child based on their improvement for that week, okay? because when they get ready to take a test, it's going to reflect if they studied. Okay? And when you have a round table discussion, well, let's see what you had to do in English and present it here. Do a presentation and present it. If you had to write a paper, read it to us. If you had to do math and you didn't do so well, then if the school offer free tutoring, take advantage of it. That will not be deducted from your money because you're putting forth the effort to get what you need. So that way you're running a well-oiled machine in your house, but you're teaching your children. And then let them know that when they get ready to get this paycheck, go to the Bible and show them. The Bible says here about a vision statement. Go to Proverbs, what was that, Proverbs 6, Ms. Kathy? 22
mm-hmm.
and 6.
Proverbs 22, 6. Mm-hmm.
Right. Bringing up a child. And 22 and 7. Either you're the lender or you're the borrower. So you're teaching them at a young age how to be little business people and changing their mindset. But you also, in the roundtable discussions, you're able to ask them, bring your Bible out. Go and look up, I believe that's, I might pronounce it wrong. It begins with an H. All right, Pastor.
What is it? What?
Some of the Bible scholars. I know it begins with an H. No, I'm pronouncing it wrong. But anyway, go in there and look it up where, I know it's chapter 2, where it says that write a vision and make it clear. Okay? Show your child how to do this and where it comes from. Where it, show them in the Bible where the Bible, how the Bible was written also for the present times. And they are able to associate with this. Cross reference. This your reference book. And at your roundtable discussion, let them read it. And also let them show you, give their business overview for the week of their strategy, how their company is growing. And then have a map of chart showing their growth. And put those posters up.
Mm-hmm. That was Habakkuk 2:2.
Huh?
Habakkuk.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Habakkuk.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it began with an H. I sometimes, you know, with the words, getting the right words out, but I know where to go and find it. But anyway, but I'm just showing you where you can use that as the Bible as a reference in your roundtable discussions, showing them that these, where these strategies come from, and they could relate that as they grow older, how to cross-reference of almost anything that they need to know with their business and also with the word. And then they don't become strangers to it. And then we as adults, we learn too, because these strategies are not just for children. These strategies can be used for us, you know, in our everyday life, you know, writing our vision and our mission statements for our life. How? What are we going to change? You know, some people say resolutions. No, let's do the vision board, the vision statement and the mission statement. Mm-hmm. How are we going to change, make a change for ourselves? So that's all I have today. I hope that was something that was fruitful for everybody.
Yeah, that was very good. Mm-hmm. Really good.
I like that a lot. Create an agreement with your child and pay them for keeping the agreement. That's real good. And pay them for good grades.
Mm-hmm.
And give
all
them a pay stub.
That's a good way to be well-rounded. You could teach them right at home how to be real well-rounded, getting around that table, and teaching them just all of those little tidbits that you just spoke about, being the encourager and showing them about business and having ideals and like they're in a boardroom.
Yes, yes.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Jackie.
I like the part where she says stay in tune with your children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's extra important. And I think it goes with being inquisitive about their day and finding out from them how they feel and how they're doing. So I have 10 questions you could ask your kids after school, your children. And the first one is, what did you learn today? And the second one is, were you kind to anyone today? And the third one is, do you have any questions for me? And is there anything you need help with is number four. What did you like best and least about your school day today? That's number five. And what did you have for lunch and did you eat it all or not? Number six. And number seven is, what friends did you hang out with today? And number eight is, what are you looking forward to tomorrow? And number nine is, did anyone get in trouble in class today and why? And the last one is, was anyone rude to you today? And those are all so much better than, how was school?
Mm-hmm. That's really good because you at least you know what happened for the day, happened throughout their day. Even the one where it says, was anybody rude to you today, then, you know, they might bring up, well, I got bullied or something like that. It might be cause for you to be able to have to go up to the school and stop something that's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really good questions. Really good.
I think that a well-rounded child is a happy child.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this list of 10 steps to a happy child. And that's also 10 things on the list. So the first one is listen when they talk. And that's so important to hear them and for them to feel heard. And then number two is let them express their feelings and validate them. And number three is point out their strengths with compliments. And that's so important. They need to know what their strengths are. And if you're paying attention, you can let them know what you see that they don't see. And number four is encourage their friendships with other great kids. So if you know there have some friends that have qualities and character traits that you want your child to pick up, then you can make arrangements for them to get together or just do any kind of encouragement for those two children to get together. And number five is teach them to pay attention to other people's feelings. And that's a good skill that they can hone while they're short. And then number six is avoid excess screen time. And that's difficult to do, even for me as a, someone who also needs to avoid excess screen time. And number seven is let them have some relaxed play time every day. And then number eight is eat dinner at, as a family. And I don't know anybody that does that. Do you? Number nine is let your happiness show. So if you want them to be happy, you want them to see that you are happy. And then number 10 is tell them you love them every day. And this is supposed to build a happy child. But I'm curious, does anybody know anyone who eats dinner as a family?
That eats dinner as a family?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Okay, I'm going to take that as a no.
We try to. Well, probably not. Not much. I can't think of anybody that I know to eat dinner as a family because everybody's going all their separate ways and, you know, you got young folk working and no one's home anymore.
Right.
But, you know, I think that's a good thing that we should maybe start, you know, promoting and talking about that and saying, hey, let's start, you know, eating as a family. Even the little ones just sit down and eat with them on the floor, eat with them at their little table, get that back started again, because if we start with them, then they'll grow up and do it and just have a little conversation. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Okay. I can hardly hear. I'm having phone trouble over here again. It's just
oh, wow.
I can't with these phones. Yeah, I can hardly hear.
Well,
let me see if I can make some adjustments.
I hear you great. It sounds, the audio sounds good.
Okay. I kind of lost you. Let me see if I can fix this volume. I don't know if that's it or... Okay, those were a lot of good, that was a good list, yes. Just normal, regular family things
mm-hmm.
that we should be doing, that we used to do, that we should, you know, continue to do or start back doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Do you have any questions for me? what did you learn and... do you need any help with anything? Yeah. Oh, that's some good questions. Yes. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Is anybody out there in our listening audience that want to have something that they share a word? Just press one. And I can open up your mic. There's so many calling in. We have words of encouragement for our young adults, you know, that's trying to make it, that's maybe going back to school and decided to work before they went to school, and now they might be going back to school, maybe to get their GED, maybe to get their diploma. We appreciate you for that. You know, and if you need help, seek out the help that you need. It don't matter when you go, long as you go. Okay, and just keep on going. Because if once you get that diploma, then just keep going. There's a lot of careers out there that's really needed now. So find your career, find what you love to do, and get the information, research, the information that you need, the classes, the time there is for you to take it, and just keep going, because you need to know how to take care of yourself. You need to know how to take care of yourself.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned, it was Jackie that mentioned Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another key for a well-rounded child is to have a secular education and a spiritual education. And the Proverbs is a good place for short people to start. And there's 31 chapters, so there's one for every day. And if you review them often, it will help you to get wisdom and to be well-rounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Bible will keep you well-rounded. You know, learn how to study it, start reading it. Well, I think they said a starting, that Proverbs is a good place to start. When you just first start and read the Bible for young people, Proverbs is a good place to start.
Yes, it is. I love the Proverbs.
I can hear you a little bit better. Okay, well, that was some good information that was prompting anybody that wanted to have something to say. If you want to have something to say, you could press 1, and I can open up your mic. Okay. Other than that, it's almost 8 o'clock, and we could bring on our distinguished Pastor O. If he's ready to come on in and give us that good old biblical perspective. Jackie, you good? Good show. I just want to encourage our families, our neighbors, our communities to, you know, get involved. Get involved on your block. If you see the youth out there going the wrong way, show them the right way. Take them to church. Invite them to church. Invite their families to church. Start a book club. Our book club is going so well. We have such a good teacher that helps our youth. And, you know, I work with them while they're doing their little assignments, and they're learning words. And I just bet, I was like, wow, I bet they don't do this in school. Because it took them a while to even grasp it and to get, you know, to really get motivated to do it. So I just wonder, I said, wow, how are they being taught in school? And so now they're starting to really get into it. They're learning words, new words out of the book. They have to look it up. They have to write the word 15 times. They have to look at the definition, 3 different books and 3 different books, the book that we're reading, then go to the dictionary and then go to the internet and look for the definition of the word. And then you write that 3 times each, whatever the definition is, 3 times each one of those places that you look. And then you're going to write a sentence about each one of those words 3 times. And then I think you got to write a picture so you can envision it. Isn't that deep? You get to write a picture so you
excellent.
Can really,
that is,
really envision.
That's really good.
Yeah, really envision that word. And so... if they don't do it over the week that they're supposed to do it, then once we get back on Saturday to the book club, we do it then, and she checks them all, and she collects them. And so at the end of this book, by the time we get done with this book, this is probably going to be a spelling test, a sentence test, write a sentence, what that word means, how you spell it, what it means. And then give me a sentence. helps them to remember. So yeah,
that's good. And that repetition is it right there. Once you write it several times, and something about writing on paper helps you remember too.
Mhm. Yeah, you write it. I tell them to write it and say it as you're writing it. Say each word as you're writing and say it. Say it as the definition as you're writing it. Say it. Mhm. So it is going so well, and then we play games, we eat, we fellowship, have something good to eat each time, and then we play a game. We compete against each other and get in the games that we play. And so, and it's showing, you know, social, it's giving good social skills, teaching them how to get along with each other, teaching them behavior, all of that. Mm-hmm. And if they get good grades, they're supposed to bring their report card. Now, if they don't bring their report card, they don't want any prize for what they, for their grades. So we tell them, bring your report card. You get a monetary gift for your report card, your grades, and all of that. But if you don't bring them, you don't get anything. So now we're making them be responsible for that. Okay? And that shows responsibility. Okay, bringing your book, making sure you bring your book. And your book bag, you know, all the papers we gave, the notebooks we gave you. Make sure you bring all those things. And when you bring them, you get rewarded for that. So all those things help you to be well-rounded. All those things help you to be responsible. So, yeah, we're having a really, really good educational time at our book club, and it don't take much. You get a few kids and clean your living room out, your basement, take them wherever, and do it on the street when it get in the summer. Have the kids come over. You have to sit out in the yard, get some books, give them to them, and read them. Let them take turns reading. Something simple as that.
Yeah.
So if you want to
The more words they know, the better they can express themselves, and the more they can enjoy their life.
That's right. They have good words to say. They have a good vocabulary. Yeah. And they'll be proud of themselves. They will be proud. And it just takes just a little bit of time. Time out of our busy day just to help a child, help a youth, bring somebody else up. Just think of that, just catch fire and just, you know, keep going, and people just really get into that and just, you know, decide that they're going to reach back and help one, okay, or two. Okay? All right, Pastor. There you go.
Hey, how's everybody?
Well, wonderful. How are you?
Oh, good, good, real good, real good. You know, right at the outset, I think it was Jackie that read the passage from Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4. And when I heard that, I said to my wife that, wow, that's where I'm going to be talking from tonight. So I was glad that she didn't really get to preaching it or teaching it, because then I wouldn't have had anything. I would have, well, I'm pretty sure the Lord would have gave me something else to say, but that would have been it, you know. And in this discussion on caring, how to create well-rounded children, and what goes into that is one of the benefits that parents have is that they have them. And you know, you have them from a young age to until they're old enough to leave your home. And so you have them. And so I parents need to be intentional. The Lord said a long time ago how intentional they need to be before I get into Ephesians, let's go back to the Old Testament to see what God said. You've heard me read this before. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, and it simply says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." Now, if they're to be on our hearts, not in our head, but in our hearts, symbolize they sit on the seat of our life. They tell us which way to go, okay? They give us, remember when Jesus said that it's not which, that which goes into your mouth that defiles you, but that which comes out? He said out of the heart proceeds. So God wants his commandments to be embedded in our hearts. Of course, with us today, we have the Holy Spirit. And when we read the word of God and we internalize it, then he brings it to our remembrance when we need it. But what God wanted them to do was have a heart relationship with them, that their hearts were covered by God's word. It was what was directing them. Okay, so he said, "The commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts, not just in your head, but in your hearts. Impress them." Excuse me. See that word there, impress them, impress. That's the first word you want to see. That word does not imply really choice. This is something God is saying, do. Do it whether they want it or not. Do it. Why? Because you have them. And God gave them to you to raise in the fear and admonition of the Lord. He's trusting you to do that. The reason I say that is because I once heard a parent say, when I asked them where was the child, they said they didn't feel like coming to church today. Yeah, I was stunned. I just imagined me telling my father or mother I wasn't feeling something today. Okay? And in most cases, when we hear people talk about what it was like when they were coming up, they often say they didn't have a choice. If it was Sunday, you was going to church, okay? That's just the way it was, whether you wanted to go or not. So what the Lord is saying here is, I gave them to you, impress, okay, impress them on your children. What? The word of God. Now, this says that parents need to know it. How are you going to impress something on them you don't even know? That's a big problem we have in the home today. Too many parents do not know the word of God, and they cannot teach it to their children. And we used to take them to church and drop them off at church on Sunday and let the church do it. We don't even do that anymore. So the Lord says, impress them on your children, okay, preferably before they become young adults. And we start to see that teenage act out behavior, and we get scared, okay, because we haven't taught them anything else. We just sent them to school and told them to get A's. But they don't have no walk with Jesus. And then the morality evaluator is broke, okay? It doesn't exist. There is no in all your ways acknowledge him. Why? Because you didn't impress on them. Talk about it when you sit at home. That's what the Lord say. Talk about me with your children while you're sitting at home. With your children while you're sitting at home. Make it a part of the conversation. And when you're walking along the road, you're just in the car taking a ride somewhere. Make it a part of the conversation. You know, ask God to give you and be perceptive enough to know when you can bring it up and you can inject it into the conversation as, well, maybe you should consider this. When you lie down, that means before you go to bed, acknowledge God before you close your eyes at night. And then when he's kind enough and you've realized he woke you back up again in this side of life, okay, acknowledge him. Tie them as symbols on your heads. Keep them near. as it says over there in Ephesians chapter 6, keep your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Keep it near. And bind them on your forehead. Let them have the throne of your thoughts. And if you'll notice, these are things we have to do. These are not things you can say, Lord, make me, Lord, do for me, Lord, cause me. No, these are things you have to do. But notice first, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. If you don't do that, the rest of it is not going to happen. If you got something else that you love more than God that has kept you from knowing God's word well enough to teach to your children, then the rest of this probably ain't happening. That has to happen first. In Ephesians chapter 5, now we go back over here to Ephesians chapter 6. When you look at Ephesians chapter 5, you can go over there and look at it if you want to. But 21 through 33 talks about a man and a woman who has come together in holy matrimony. God has given instructions for the woman. God has given instructions for the man. Both of them are bound to Jesus Christ in verse 21, where it says, out of reverence for Jesus Christ, submit to one another in your respective positions that God has placed you in. If you're the woman, you submit to your husband as you would to the Lord in everything. Just as the church submits to Christ, you should submit to your husband. That's the woman we're going to talk about over here in chapter 6. And then there's the man. He is to be three things to his wife: Savior, give up his life for her, sanctify her, teach her the word of God. Okay? Just like Adam did Eve. When God brought Eve, God didn't take the job of teaching Eve the names of the animals. Okay? The law that God gave Adam. Adam had that responsibility. He had to become his wife's sanctifier to set her apart, as it's described over there in Ephesians 5, a church that's perfect, without spot or wrinkle. And how does he do it? By cleansing her, washing her, what? With the word of God. So he needs to be her sanctifier, set her apart from that to this. And then he needs to be her nourisher and her cherisher. He needs to see to her physical, her emotional, and spiritual needs. All three of those things is that man over there. And that woman who is submitted to her husband as she would to Christ. So that man needs to be a whole lot like Christ. Okay, you can't submit to somebody who's not like Christ. That's called idolatry. You place the person, place, thing, or thought above God. Can't do that. So he needs to be a whole lot like Christ, because that's what you're being asked to submit to. Because guess what? He submitted to Christ to be the Savior, to be the sanctifier, to be the satisfier. That's his job. He submitted to Christ to do that. Out of reverence for Jesus, he's going to do that. Out of reverence for Jesus, she's going to do that. Now, these are these two parents who are married now. Okay, and when you come to chapter 6, the Lord brings the children in. And the first thing he says is children. The very first word there, children. Let's talk about that. Who are children? If you still live in your parents' house, and now your parent is whoever God gave. Let's make this real short. Whoever God gave to raise you, that's your parent. Might not be your biological mother or father. For whatever reason, my wife and I just watched Esther yesterday. She was raised by her cousin, Mordecai. He was her parent. Okay, so it says children. So who are children? You know who children are? Anybody who still live in their parents' house and their parents are paying 90% of their income or their living, providing 90% of their living. means you sleep in the bed in their house, means you eat food out of their refrigerator, means you take showers in their shower, you take baths in their bathroom. You get the point? You eat breakfast at their table. You get the point? It's their house. They're paying the house note. They're paying the utility bills. They're paying the taxes. They're paying the water bills. If you are somebody's providing all that for you, you're still a child. I know you probably don't like hearing that because you probably said, well, I'm grown. Well, get on your own. Then you are not children. Amen? Okay. So children should be between 0 and 18 in America, right? Depending on what country you live in, it could be quicker than that. But you get 18 years here in America to be children, right? So if somebody else providing all of that for you, then you are under their stewardship. You are under their care. They are responsible for you. He says, obey your parents. Parents, it's an S on there, and that's intentional. And in our day and time, both parents might not live in the same house. God would that they did, but in reality, today, they don't. One parent can live over there. One parent lives over there. But wherever they live, this word says children who are being provided for by somebody else, you receive 90%+ of your living from them. Obey them. Obey your parents. Whether they live in the same house or different houses. Now, remember, these are the parents who are submitted to the Lord over there in Ephesians chapter 5. These are not parents who are criminals. These are not parents like a man today who was found guilty and had to pay $83.3 million to somebody he defamed and was found liable for raping a long time ago. That's not the kind of parent I'm talking about, because that kind of parent lead their own children into criminality or criminal behavior. These are the parents that's over there in Ephesians chapter 5. So parents, you're obligated to be the parents that these children can obey. Amen. So look at Ephesians chapter 5, parents, and see if you're those parents. Examine yourselves by that word over there, because those are the parents that God is telling these children to obey. And why should they do it? Because the Lord says it's the right thing to do. If the Lord says it's the right thing to do, it is the right thing to do. You can't do anything better. And anything opposite of this then is the wrong thing to do. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You want to make God happy? Children, obey your parents. Obey your parents, the ones who are those over there in Ephesians chapter 5, those mothers who are submitted to Jesus, to their husbands, just like they are to Jesus in everything. Just like the church is submitted to Christ, that mother is submitted to her husband, who is Christ-like. And that man, that parent over there, okay, the Lord says it's right to obey that parent. Why? Because that man is Savior. That man is sanctifier. That man is satisfier. That man is the kind of man. That woman is the kind of woman that children are commanded by the Lord to obey. Honor your father and mother. Now, we know this is what, the fourth commandment? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Honor, highly esteem, respect, okay, your father and mother. Notice here, he switched from parents. In the Bible, it was automatically assumed that this is a husband and a wife. In our day today, especially in the black community, 72% of our homes are led by single-parent families. So it's probably good here that he simply says, honor your father and mother, because not all fathers and mothers are husbands and wives. But all fathers and mothers are parents. And the Lord says to hold in high esteem your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We'll talk about that, okay? But you honor them. You honor those parts of them that are those parents over there in chapter 5. Now, it does not say if you got crappy parents, you don't have to honor them. If you have a crappy mother and father, you don't have to honor them. You don't have to receive teaching from them that does not honor God. My wife and I know I keep saying that, but we've been watching movies from Genesis and watch Abraham and all these movies. And one of the big things that we've been seeing is in these movies is honor. I remember when we were watching David, and David went to he had got his son Absalom got it in his head that he wants to be king, and so he had a man named Ahithophel giving him advice, and they came to the conclusion that you should be king and your father is out, so his father had to leave. And so he's on the run now, and he's hungry, and he got some people traveling with him, and so he sends a message ahead of him to a man whose sheep he had been kind of protecting for him to keep the marauders and bandits away from him. And so as a favor, he asked him to send him some food for him and his men. But the man's name was Nabal. And Nabal, the name, his name means fool. And since David was on the run and everybody knew that and Saul was looking for him, he didn't fear David. And neither did he honor him. And he ended up losing his life. Now, that is a story about honoring somebody who deserves honor. The Lord says over in Romans, honor those who honor is due. Respect to those whom respect is due. And so he says here, honor and respect is due to your father and your mother. And it comes with a promise. It comes with a promise. It says so that your life, amen, will be long, or you may enjoy long life on earth, so that it may go well with you. Now, scholars argue about this, but to me it's simple. You could ask this question, what will God do for a child that obeys their parents, which they believe is right in the Lord because the Lord says so? What will the Lord do for a child or children that honor their mother and father? I believe God will bless them. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they might live to be 1,000 years old because God loves what they're doing so much. But I'm telling you that the days that they spend on this life, in this life, obeying their parents because the Lord said it's right, honoring their mother and father because the Lord said to do so, so that it may go well with you, I believe it will go well with them. And I believe that they will enjoy. See, what it says here is not really, it sounds like it's saying that you're going to live a long life, but we all know Martin Luther King only lived 33 years. He honored his mother and father and obeyed his parents. Well, we know Jesus, who came up with under Mary and Joseph, who did these things for him that he's asking us to do for our children. He honored his mother and father. He lived to be, what, 33? Even Alexander the Great died at 33 as well, but I don't know that he honored his mother and father all that much. But anyway, we'll leave him out of that. But what I'm saying is, but he did accomplish great things. Today we call him Alexander the Great because of how far he expanded the Greek Empire, or those Greek city-states, which really brought us democracy. They were kind of a democratic nation. They became later on. But at the time that he was doing what he was doing, they were really just a collection of Greek city-states that had come together to fight against a common enemy. And so, but anyway, bottom line is he was called Alexander the Great. God wants to do that. The point is, no, he didn't live to be 70 years old. You know, we got it in our heads that we're supposed to live 3 score and 10 years. And if by reason we get to 80, the Bible really doesn't say that. If it did, then it lied, because Jesus didn't make it that far. And there are so many other people, Enoch, who only lived to be 365 years relative to our day, didn't make it that far. And he was so well loved by the Lord that he took him. And so we know he was the type that honored his mother and father and obeyed his parents. But parents, let's finish with this. I'm going to close with this. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, that word there, a lot of scholars believe, is back to parents. Because God intended for two people to do it, Adam and Eve, children. Okay, mother and father, children. Now, that's not to say that all men and women should get married and have children. If you decide to submit to those situations we talked about over there in 21 to 33 in Ephesians 5, if you decide to get married and if you decide to have children, this is what the Lord wants you to do. It's not about having enough money to live, to buy a house, to get a car, and to live a good married life. If you're going to have children, the Lord wants you to be intentional about learning that Bible so you can teach it to them. Yes, he wants them to be well-rounded. He wants them to be thoroughly educated. Just like Moses was raised and was thoroughly educated in the sciences and arts of the Egyptians. But then later on, what did the Lord do? Added the spiritual side. And then those two sides came together. He was able to create a nation. Okay, so those two have to come together. We cannot just secularly educate our children and think that's enough. God wants that. Yes, he does. But he wants that to be undergirded, held up on top of the foundation of Scripture. He says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. They're little people. They're not your little toys. They're not your little possessions. They're little people that God gave you to raise. So don't hurt them with your mouth. Don't hurt them with your heavy-handedness. Don't hurt them as making them feel like they're just useless. What will the Lord do to a parent who makes their children go opposite of what God wants them to? Shouldn't you be afraid? I would be afraid to mislead God's little ones. Jesus said it would be better for you to have a millstone. Now, if you don't know what a millstone is, let me give you an example. Take a Mack truck with the trailer, tie it around your neck and go swimming in the Pacific Ocean with that. Jesus said it would be better for you to tie that around your neck and go swimming in the middle of the ocean than for the person who would exasperate, cause these little children to become afraid, despondent, don't care, stressed out before they're 15, have to live like an adult before they're 10 years old. No, the Lord wants them, he says, train them up. Train them up. That means over time, all the time, over time, in training. Now, when those people who Paul was talking to, the Ephesians, when they wrote this, their minds went immediately to the Romans. Strict, regimental, okay, disciplined, hard training. That's where their minds went. So there's a part of it that's boot campish, okay? If you'll let me say it that way, there's a part where you're going to have to give them the tough stuff, the tough love. They're going to have to learn some hard things, okay? But they're going to be trained, like when I went to boot camp, when I joined the Navy. That's when I got into, they called it physical training. Amen. So you're going to have, there's going to be some hard stuff. They're not going to like everything. They're not going to want to be trained to do this or to do that. But there will be times when you have to break them. But then there's also time for instruction. And during that time of instruction, there's also a time for encouragement. There has to be a balance. Or you'll discourage them. You'll dishearten them. So God wants you to be intentional, to pay attention to each one of them because they're all different, and give them the training and instruction that they need as individuals. And then when they see the others being treated differently than them, there's going to have to be some explanation. Yes, they deserve to have an explanation. They shouldn't be told, shut up, I'm your daddy, I'm your mama, just do what I say. No, they need to understand. God didn't give them to you to brutalize them. He's trusting you to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. What that means is to reverence God, teach them to reverence God, to never trust any person, place, thing, or thought more than him. Never love any person, place, thing, or thought more than him. Reverence him. And then teach them how to live for him. You know, Adam and Eve did that. They had a bunch of kids before Cain and Abel. Some people believe that Cain and Abel were their first two kids. I was watching a documentary the other day, and they clearly painted Cain and Abel as the first two kids. But then in the latter part of chapter 4, Cain gets a wife. If they were the first two kids, where did Cain's wife come from? He made her? If they were the first two kids and there were two boys, where was this girl born from? So they weren't the first two kids. They were just two kids that the Lord chose to talk to us about that Adam and Eve had. And we know that Adam and Eve messed it up with the Lord in the garden. The Lord fixed it up with Adam and Eve. The Lord taught Adam and Eve how to honor him. The Lord taught Adam and Eve how to bring an offering to him when they messed up, to keep the communication, the lines of communication open, to maintain that connection with the Lord. And so he taught them how to bring offerings. And then Adam and Eve became Bible teachers in their home. Ooh, yeah. How many Bible classes have been in your house this year? Last year. Adam and Eve taught their kids in their home. Bible class was at the crib. Wow. When was the last time you had a Bible class with your kids in your house? Amen. They taught them how to bring an offering to the Lord, how to be in relationship with him. And guess what? How do you know that, Pastor? Where do you think that Cain and Abel learned it from? And when Cain brought that crappy offering, okay, it's not like that was the first one he brought. He may have brought many offerings before that one that the Lord did accept. Because if you read that conversation, it seems like he had. But somehow along the way, his love for God started to wane. And so his offering started to get crappy. But Abel kept his up. Point is, Adam and Eve taught him how to do that. And they probably didn't wait till they were grown to teach them. They did it when they were children. Because God put them under their care to raise them to know him. Now, look, parents, it ain't going to always work. It won't always work. I mean, even Jesus, he preached to the rich young ruler what he needed to do to get saved. That didn't work. He rode off sad. Okay? So whereas all the other kids, and when Cain went and got a wife over there in the land of Nod, those folks living over there, they weren't following the Lord either. You read Genesis chapter 4, you'll see no mention of God with Cain's people. God don't show up again until you get to the bottom of chapter 4 when Seth has a son named Enosh, and then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Why would that be written there if they were already doing that? What God is telling us in chapter 4, that a whole lot of people chose not to follow him, and they were Cain's people. But then when you look at those descended from Abel, righteous Abel, as Hebrews describes him, righteous Abel, then you see that his descendants are listed over there in chapter 5, and they did follow the Lord. And thank God for that, because from them we got who? Noah. And Noah walked with the Lord. The Lord bragged on him. Enoch walked with the Lord. Lord took him. So we see the power that God has given to parents who he has placed children in. And if you're not a parent who biologically had them, but God has brought these children around you, it is not by accident. He brought them around you on purpose. He wants you. I don't know how long your season going to last with them, but he brought them around you to impart something to them on his behalf. Take that opportunity and try to teach them as much about the Lord as you possibly can. Let the school give them their secular education, amen, but you teach them something about the Lord. Sister Jackie went on and began to read down there by chapter 5. I mean, verse 5 out of chapter 6. And this is talking about how we're supposed to conduct ourselves out here in the world. But we want children, okay, that can obey us. Because we're them parents in Ephesians chapter 5. And we want children who do it because the Lord said it's right. And we've taught them. We've exampled in front of them how to love the Lord and do what's right in an unchristian world. The Lord wants children that honor the fathers and mothers, but they have to be fathers and mothers that are honorable. How horrible is it for a child to have to honor a father or mother that's not honorable? But they're commanded by the Lord to do it, not to do anything wrong, but to honor their mother and father, whether their mother and father is honorable or not. And God has promised a blessing on those who obey. I mean, when we obeyed God concerning his only begotten son, where he said he loved the world so much that he gave his son, when we believed God, and we honored him, and we obeyed him, and we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, did he not make things go well with us? I mean, things, you know, even in this crappy life, in this crappy world where Satan is the prince, the power of the air, the ruler of this sick world, still makes it all right. Even though, like Jesus said, you're going to have trials and tribulations, he still makes it all right. I mean, we even got songs that say, won't he make it all right? Or won't he do it? Why? because we've been through some crappy situation and didn't he do it? So what will the Lord do for parents who have children who can obey them in the Lord because it's right? What will the Lord do for children who honor their fathers and mothers and get the first commandment promise, get the life that goes well for them, be able to enjoy the life the Lord gives us to live? We enjoy long life because we have an eternal life. What will God do for a father who does not exasperate their children and cause them to become disheartened, but instead they raise them up? They take every opportunity, as we talked about over there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. But they bring them up to reverence God and to live according to his word. What will the Lord do for a father and a mother who does that, even if they don't live in the same house, even if they're not the biological father or mother, but God has used them to impart to these children? What will the Lord, what kind of treasure does God store up in heaven for somebody who does that? Amen. Amen. I didn't intend to say that much, but
it's getting good.
You know.
It's all relevant. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I preached this series, and it was only three parts. But when if you go to my YouTube page, Pastor O'Tube, just go to Books by PastorGMO.com, and then hover over Books by Pastor O and click on Pastor O'Tube, and then you can get all seven installments of God's Plan for Life and Family. This series I just did was just three parts, but that's really it was shortened up because Running for Christ Ministries gets it every year, so they're pretty much familiar with it. But for those who are not, you might want to go to my YouTube page. Well, just go to my website, PastorGMO.com, and hover over that. And when the drops down, just click on Pastor O'Tube, and then you can listen to all seven installments. God's got a plan, and if we get into God's plan, if we can't change the whole world, we can change ours. Okay, we might not be able to change this whole world, but we can change our world. So do what you do in your house, and prayerfully, if we do what the Lord says and quiet life, mind our own business, work with our own hands, we'll get the respect of those on the outsides, because people are watching. Our children are watching. They wish their life was like somebody else's. They wish it was in their house like in somebody else's house. So, yeah. So we got to play our part, do our part. Everybody got a part to play. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to children. Whenever I get around them, I remember what Jesus said about them. And if he's willing to punish somebody that severely, for hurting one of them, I look at them as special. They are very, very special in his sight. And if we go ahead and play our part and, you know, bring them two together, get the secular education working along with the spiritual education, I mean, who knows how far they can go, you know? And the Lord needs strong Christians. You don't need no mealy-mouth weak ones like them clowns in Washington, you know, call themselves Christians. But, you know, not one up there helped President Biden get elected. James Clyburn, you know, who regularly attends church, regularly for real. He didn't know which way to go about Biden. or what to do. He hadn't declared nothing, and everybody wanted to know what to do. The great James Clyburn have to say. So finally he goes to church, and there's one of these mothers in the church who is there, and she comes to him, and she says, you're going to have to make it plain. You're going to have to make it clear. You're going to have to say which way you're going. So he decides that, okay, this is from the Lord. He decides to come out and endorse Biden. Biden was going down like an airplane with no motors. They both fell off, and he was crashing and burning. But when Clyburn endorsed him, that turned his whole thing around, and he went on to win the presidency. See, this is what I'm talking about. Now, Clyburn was raised in a home, in a place where these two things was happening. And I admire him because he don't lose his religion. He don't lay it down. And he talked like he'll really get you straight. So he talked like he's not scared of you. So, you know, he cracked me up when he looked at you and talked with that mean face. But that's James Clyburn. But them other clowns like Mike Johnson, the House Speaker, good God Almighty, he bragged about how big a Christian he was and how he just loved the Lord and got that little evangelical right smile face and up there kissing this love Trump, like Tim Scott. Mm. I just love Jesus. I love him, bro. Lord have mercy, Jesus. See, not them kind. God can't do nothing with them kind. Because, see, the Lord needs them. Like my wife and I was watching Daniel the other day when the Hebrew boys got threatened. First it was over the food, eat the king's meat. They wouldn't do that. God honored them. They honored God. God blessed them. And then it was bow down to the king's statue. They made it clear to the king, we ain't doing that. And so they threw them in the fiery furnace, and they lived. The reason I cite them is because they were sexually educated and they were spiritually educated. And those two came together, and God used both of them to take them. They ran Babylon. The Hebrew boys, that, and they called that because they were just boys. They were like teenagers, okay, and they're running Babylon. Now, if that's what happens when you raise a well-rounded child and they've all been thrust into a situation where they got no parents or relatives around them. They're on their own. All they have is what their parents instilled in them. When they were trained up, that's all they got. Mm. And so when the pressure was on, they knew what to do. They knew what to do, like Darius and Malachi. When the pressure was on and their mama wasn't with them, and they were on their own, and they saw a man's house about to burn up in his house in a fire, they knew what to do, and they did it. See, that's when you've trained them up, you have to pray that. See, the father in Luke chapter 15, when that boy left, that father knew how that boy was raised. That's why he looked for him every day. And so when he saw the boy coming back afar off, that means he was looking for him to come back because he knew he had something to come back to because he had been raised upright. Don't mean they won't go crazy, okay? But sooner or later, they'll come to their senses and say, you know, I was taught way better than this, and I do not have to live like this. And then they'll come back home. And they'll come back home humble. They won't come back home crazier. Just come back home humble. But, you know, it takes a real skillful parent to pay attention and be intentional about their children and how they're raising them. And trust me, God gave them to you to do that. You know, he had me with kids from 77 I was taught by Shirley Golston how to teach 7 and 8 year olds. And then Pastor Barlow put me with Dr. Houston, and he taught me how to interpret God's word. And then it just kept, Pastor Barlow taught me how to study and all of that. He's the one that's responsible for teaching me how what I figured out today. I credit him with that. But I've been teaching kids since 1977. And I stopped in 2002 when I left First Baptist to do Runner for Christ. And, you know, now Sarah has that job. And she runs our whole youth church.
Mm-hmm. So she's got they that. Enjoy it, too.
They really love it. They do. They run down those steps as soon as...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably getting away from me from pinching them.
They be getting down those steps. They're like, we are out of here.
They are. They have a good time. Ooh, good sermon, Pastor. Oh, I got a treat. Get to hear it again Sunday. I had it last Sunday, and oh, I just keep going. And it's just so real. It's like watching a movie. It's like it's really real life. Everything you're talking about is just real life. It's the Bible, but it's real.
It is. It's real. It's mm-hmm. everyday life. It's mm-hmm. When I heard that, I knew immediately, oh, well, that's God's confirmation. And that's how prophets work, right? Mm-hmm. Real prophets. God told me first. He always tells you first. And then he used his prophet was whoever came up with that scripture to be read and read it. That was his prophet to confirm for me. For instance, real quick, in Acts chapter 20, I think Paul said, I only know that the Holy Spirit tells me that prisons and chains await me. And then in Acts chapter 21, a prophet shows up named Agabus, and Agabus says he go up to Paul and take his belt off and wrap himself up with it and tie himself up and say, this is what the Jews will do to the owner of this belt in Jerusalem. Now, the Lord had already told Paul through the Holy Spirit that prison and chains await him. Then the prophet showed up. Now, if the prophet show up first before God has said anything to you, that's backwards. So, in other words, you can't just walk up on me and say, the Lord told me in 3 weeks you're going to get a car. I'm like, well, you told me that. So you can know when you're talking to a real prophet who prophesies a personal prophecy. That same prophet, Agabus, prophesied that a general prophecy that was for everybody, that there was going to be a famine, and there was. And of course, the final test for any prophet is if what they say comes true. That's why people like Nostradamus and his quatrains are looked at as real shaky because he is super ambiguous. But, you know, he did seem to say some things that happened when they happened. But he was so ambiguous that, you know, that's like saying apples will appear on that apple tree in the spring. Okay. Yeah. That's
it sure
not
is.
Really prophecy, but I believe you, you know.
Right.
So, you know. This stuff was all over the place. But I enjoyed studying him. I mean, he was a Christian, but he was an alchemist as well. So, you know, a lot of fun things going on with these guys. But they're some real interesting people. Yeah.
Good deal. Oh, good. That millstone, they better stay away from that millstone. That's kind of, that's pretty heavy.
That is. When I first read that, I'm like, wow, Jesus. He said, well, I'm making a point. I want you to get it. You mess with them kids,
get that.
You can expect it. You can expect it. He don't want to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want to mess up. And when parents just be going off on their kids, I get scared for them because they're exasperating them.
Mm.
You know, they're depressing them, they're stressing them, and they're not ready for that. That's not why he gave them to you. You take your, go outside and bite on a tree if you're frustrated, but don't hurt the kids.
Don't hurt the kids. Don't hurt the baby.
No. All
right. Okay, we're going to get out of here. Hey, do life orderly. Love God with all your heart and soul. Do it orderly. We'll be all right if you do that. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, we will.
Mm-hmm. We're going into our Black History Month next week, I believe. It's February already. January just eased on out of here. It's easing on out. We're going to be talking about Black history and knowledge our history and make sure we are, proud of what we've done and what we're going to be doing. Making history every day. Continue to pray for my family and the loss of our nephew, Anthony Cox, my niece's husband, Angelita, of 24 years. Been together since they were 14 years old. They raised three beautiful children, Shania, Tony Jr., and Jordan. Well-rounded young adults. Really proud of them. And Shania is one of our adult hosts on our show. You know, she's a daddy's girl, so she's taking that pretty hard. So after all this is over and, you know, we send him on his way with a celebration, they're going to be coming on the show, you know, doing the things that they wanted to do, hosting a show about business and Jordan. He's going to talk about physical fitness and things like that. So we're going to look forward to them, those well-rounded young cocks. Family children coming on and blessing to bring back the family show. So we're going to look forward to that. Keela had her surgery today on her foot, so I'm just waiting to hear how she's doing. I'm sure she did well. She's going to be ripping and running in a minute, and she's going to be able to stop her. She never stopped anyway, but she's going to really have to sit down for 3 months to make that foot right. So she's really going to have to do that. So she'll be back on the go soon. And then I want to just congratulate my sister, Callie Pierce, another one of our co-hosts, for retiring from the National Labor Relations Board, the government. She served them well for 44 years, and all her coworkers came out and celebrated her from near and far, and they were just, you know, happy to do that, and glad she was able to make a good life for herself in her time that she worked. Okay.
You're one of the people I used to threaten my bosses with. I'll call the National Labor Relations Board. I'll call the Equal Opportunity. I'll call the NAACP.
That's right.
I used to threaten them with them.
Yeah, she made her contributions there, and she was able to make a good living for herself, and so we just going to bless her. NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, she was elections officer. She served them well. They called her names because she was leaving. They were just so upset. They had a really good time. And they're in a mess right now because nobody wanted to do that job, and she did it very well, and they were running from it, and so now they are scrambling.
Trying to find a replacement.
They know how to do it. They just don't want to. So, yeah. She did it with ease. And so now she's retired, and I think she got another second job taking care of that husband. So So that's always funny. Yep. So we're going to wish her well. Yeah. So that's it. We got a church tomorrow, Pastor O.
Yes, indeed. Pastor Tate going to be preaching tomorrow. Yeah. And I don't have to really get out until like 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like, I can carry it up till then.
It's okay. It's up to you. Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay,
take a
good,
break.
Good.
Take a break.
Good, good.
You and Stevie get out, go out to breakfast or something.
Oh, please don't mention that. You had me running out here. So I'm
right,
like, you're a cat.
Right.
We gotta
that's
go.
Right. Take a break. I got my backup. Yeah, so everything's good. We got it. I got the information. So we're ready to roll. So we're going to call tomorrow, same number at 10 o'clock tomorrow, service. And if you don't have a church to go to, Sunday at Running for Christ Ministries, and of course, Auto Drive on 11th Street. I'm going to write that address down.
27085.
27085, got it. 27085 Otter Drive, West Otter Drive. And so we will, if you don't have a church home on Sunday, come on over and visit with us. We promise not to keep you long. Okay. I think that's all I have. You have anything else, Pastor?
Just one thing. We're going to be doing our ordination service. We had some folks languishing or been under testing, and you know the Bible says let them be tested, and if they do okay, then let them serve. Well, they've been tested and they did okay, so we're going to be ordaining Deaconess Rebecca Johnson. She's one.
Hi,
and who is the other ones? Mary.
Mary
Tate.
Mary
yep,
Tate.
She's coming
mm-hmm.
up. Naomi Carter, and Amira
beautiful.
Jones. Okay,
wow.
So we got three women and one man. Praise God.
All right now, young adult man. That's beautiful. Some workers on the way.
Yes, it's great. Good to have help.
Yes, it is. All right, well, hey, tell somebody about Bring Back the Family. Tune in next week, Black History Month. We're going to start. It's all about the kids. It's all about the youth. It's all about getting the next generation ready to do what we're already doing, okay? They're taking over. It's their turn. It's their turn. We're going to go somewhere and step aside and let them rule. Let them take over and be in charge. That's the way it's supposed to go. Keep them wheels rolling. Am I right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Okay, all right. We had a good message to go with it. And so, hey, that's it. So, I hope I didn't leave anything out. Just tell everybody about Bring Back the Family. We're going to start our program soon, hopefully the end of April, first part of March. We're going to be doing the Boss of Me. We're going to be making sure the kids know where they're going to go, what they want to do when they get older, what career they want. We're going to have the armed forces there. We're just going to have a lot of different things going. It's going to be like a seminar, so get these kids ready. And so once we do that, then hopefully we'll just get the parents really, really, really interested and involved in their youth and making sure that they have what they need to make it. Okay? So you know we got work to do. Love, love.